This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Day off over at HeadGum. Said mom gonna come over and listen to this podcast. It's called If I Were You. These Jews, they will give you some solutions that will last. Jake gets the golden. It's a foregone conclusion. Born for it 500 times. The chip monkey will complain that I wrote this in the theme song. And for that, the turdy is his to own. 'Cause it broke up the flow of the podcast show.
Wow, Mark Berman.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Mark Berman. No shit. I knew a guy growing up named Mark Berman, but I bet it wasn't the same guy.
Yeah.
Because I think Mark's like a bouncer now. I don't think he's allowed to sing.
Bouncers never sing. That's the most famous thing about bouncers.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Yeah,
an artistic bone in their body.
Yeah, you know, he was really artistic.
No, you know what? I think I'm ready to call out all bouncers.
Yeah. You implied that heavily with your statement.
Nagin Farzad, how the heck are you? How'd you like that theme song?
Oh my gosh. You know what? First of all, I love this feature of your podcast. What I love about that for this particular one is I thought the Phoebe Bridgers was a really out of left field person to parody. You know, because I feel like a lot of the songs that come in are a little bit more just like very, very mainstream bangers that we all recognize easily. And yep. so to have this felt like, I don't know, it had a certain je ne sais quoi.
That's right. High degree of difficulty.
I should also just mention, just to make myself seem really cool, that cool. I've met Phoebe Bridgers.
That is cool.
And she's like utterly delightful.
Yeah, isn't Phoebe's great, right?
Yeah. Have you ever met her? Because you're calling her by the first
name. I've never met her, but doesn't it? No. It sort of sounds like I did when I say like, oh, I love Phoebe. Like, oh,
yeah. She's great, right? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, I haven't met her, but she seems awesome.
And to make me sound less cool, I thought Phoebe Bridgers was the Fleabag actor and creator.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yes, yeah. I thought they were the same person until very, very recently. And
you know, as did I.
Yeah.
As did I.
I mean,
you and I probably found out around the same time when she covered the Bo Burnham song.
Yes, exactly.
No, I think that's a common mistake. And there was a moment where I thought it myself, but then I thought, that's crazy. Why would everyone be saying their names differently? You know, because they are different,
well, it's like
a different set of words. Yeah. Right. Like, oh, is this like a diminutive version of Phoebe Waller's, you know, Waller-Bridge, which I always have a hang up about if I'm saying all of her names correctly. But I think that was common for me. But then I solved that in just like a minute by Googling it.
That's cool. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for smart. Sure. That's why you have a smart podcast and we're just dumbasses.
No, I was just going to say, that's why you guys are dumbasses. Thank you. I was just going to say that.
That's good. People love it when because guests usually are very polite. It's nice that we already have the rapport that you can razz us like that. But tread lightly because it's been a pretty brutal morning for me personally.
What happened?
I ended up stubbing my toe. A few times, actually, which is...
What do you mean a few times?
Oh, is it on the same area? Like, was it in the same piece of furniture or whatever?
Several stubs, same toe, same furniture. Once during a reenactment of my dumbassery. The third time wasn't the charm. I think I'm broken as a man and as a
foot. Yeah. Is it a piece of furniture that you do this to a lot and that you keep saying we need to move this or whatever, but then you don't?
Every furniture is stubbable in my eyes. So there's a coffee table. There's invariably going to be a leg there.
Yeah.
Right? A bed, a classic one. I mean, it's not, I don't have a box spring on the ground. I have a wooden frame and that's stubbable as well.
Yeah.
It's all stubbable. And I take advantage of that and it hurts. And, you know, you try to be like a strong man when it happens. And it's just like,
sure.
But at a certain point, you do have to fall to the ground and say, ah.
Yeah.
And you're sort of laughing to yourself. And it really did freaking kill.
Fall to the ground?
Was it like a high-pitched squeal?
Yeah, it was. Well, I don't really know because I browned out. So I couldn't.
You writhed on the floor, squealing like a little piggy.
Yeah. It was a sight.
That was like a pig meets sloth, I feel like. That was a good, like a hybrid.
That's how I walk now, too. So, Nagin, you are a host of a HeadGum podcast, if anybody out there doesn't know yet. It's called Fake the Nation.
That's right.
What's the elevator pitch? What's the quick log line for
Me and like a rotating cast of comedians, and we basically kvetch about the news and culture every week. And it's just really fun people. Like, you know, we've had on like Margaret Cho and Neil deGrasse Tyson and Samantha Bee. And,
wow.
You Damn. Know,
heavy hitters.
We've even had on a former presidential candidate, Julian Castro, but he's not a comedian. Shit. But you know what? He can hang with comedians, and that's
really
the main. And then we've also had Amir on the show.
Yes, so I was gonna say, in terms of heavy hitters, there was Cho, there was me, there was DeGrasse,
I wanted to
and
save
there was
you.
Castro. That's right. That's the Mount Rushmore of Fake the Nation.
I wanted to save you for last because you're the like heaviest of the hitters.
Yes, yeah, I'm a headliner,
and you're running. Right?
I was waiting way closer to the election cycle to announce that because in this like new climate, this cultural climate, it's sort of here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah,
so like by the time if I announce something today, like I will be gone and out of the news, irrelevant and stupid by Tuesday.
Yeah. You got to let Andrew Yang's new book sort of fall off the bestseller list, and then you can start thinking about your announcement.
Yes, exactly. It's the hashtag trending economy. Are you familiar with Web 3.0, Nikki?
No, what is
that? That's your platform, right?
Yeah, it's something I'm trying to sort of popularize / latch onto with regards to
Is it like the metaverse? There it is.
A lot of it is metaverse related, adjacent, augmented reality meets virtual reality.
You stubbed your toe wearing the Oculus.
And I wouldn't
hanging out in the metaverse, right?
And that pain wouldn't exist in the metaverse. That's the beautiful part. Everybody's completely
really
legless. Like that character from what is it? Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings? Legolas?
Oh, wait.
Legolas?
Yeah, Legolas.
I was thinking of Theon, who's like penisless.
Oh, is
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Right.
Theon?
Or
Greyjoy?
Yeah, like, and that's correct.
Yes. He's a eunuch.
He was castrated.
I believe he was castrated.
Yes, he was castrated by what's his face, Ramsay Bolton.
Or maybe just the tip. Right. I don't know where what's
it was a circumcision.
He went whole
episode.
Hog because he mailed it. No, he mailed it to his mailed it. There wasn't really mail in Game of Thrones.
It was email.
He ravened it.
Yeah. It was ravened to Theon's sister.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah.
No spoilers. I am only on episode 2 of The Sopranos. So I'm working my way through HBO's
catalog.
Liturgy, as they say.
Yeah, you're in store for some really great torture.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Actually, the only show I ever watch is Succession, so I can't actually talk with any knowledge about any other television
Did you
program.
Watch last night's episode?
I did, thank you for asking. Nagin, do you watch that show?
I mean, absolutely. And I cannot stop thinking about the number of shirts and jackets that were worn by one Adrian Brody on last night's episode.
He looked like he was putting on new layers between each.
I mean, I was like, did the number of shirts grow? He just added a scarf? What is happening? It just kept appearing.
Yeah, it was always so funny. He was like, it's just a little bit further ahead. I'm gonna run ahead. It's like, all right, you already said that. Like, are you running ahead or are you lost, dude? Like, you keep saying they're right here. It's going to happen. Like, are they there or not?
It was so, and it's so embarrassing when you're on your, like, Hamptons property and, like, you get lost in your own beach maze. Tough. It's so embarrassing. And, like, we've all been there. So I, like, totally, you know, he was sort of trying to hide under his mini performance fleece.
Yes. What about his, the crab lunch that he had airlifted in and they didn't touch? they served him and they're like, all right, well, let's go.
And then they all got lost.
Okay. So
my favorite part was... I liked when Kendall showed, you know, like when you go to any of your friends' new houses or like their even apartment or whatever, you like, you see it and you're like, oh, this place is so nice. Kendall was at this insane mansion and just goes, yeah, nice place. It's like so unaffected by like, a guy's private island. Yeah. I loved it.
Somebody found that house on Zillow and posted it on Twitter. It was recently put on the market for $49 million, but eventually didn't sell. So the owner kept it.
Is it in the Hamptons?
Yeah, it's somewhere in Long Island.
Okay, and it did not sell. Interesting.
It's tough because the current COVID economy, like $49 million is a lot for some people.
I'm going to take a look at it. I didn't realize.
I'll send you the listing.
Yeah, please send me the listing. Yeah.
You could lowball them.
I do have a HeadGum podcast, so.
That's right. So we're all getting a Hamptons.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You only have to put like, $12 million down on something like
but
that.
But can I just say something about all, like the weird thing about that level of wealth is that they want to just be on a private island in a house on many acres that's so private, and then you want to be on private jets. It's just like being sequestered away from people. And I just kind of think my hot take on wealth at that level is that it sounds boring and like very lonely. You know, I don't want to be alone all the time. Like that just sounds shitty.
Well, can you also be rich in Manhattan?
Yeah, that'd be better. To be alone and surrounded by people that kind of work for you, too. Like, how many people did it take to steam all those clams? You're just, like, surrounded by not your friends.
They didn't even touch them. They did not touch the clams.
Right. Like, who's going to tell you to your face that you're, you know, a dumbass if you're not, you know.
Nobody.
Exactly.
And, okay, one last thing, because this isn't a Succession pod, but my favorite part of last night's episode.
I think transformations.
Yeah, we could pivot entirely, and that would be fine by me. When they didn't have to write this in at all, but just the fact that Kendall's kids called FaceTime him to see the rabbit. Like, it was just happening in the background of a scene that had nothing to do with it. It was just like, show him the bunny. Just like,
bunny cam,
see
bunny
in the background.
Cam.
Yeah, like an assistant holding a fucking iPad to a rabbit.
And it's crazy. She's wearing like a power suit and she's wearing heels, you know, and she's crouching down to this bunny and she's like putting on that face you put on with kids where you're like smiling really, really hard and like trying to make it all look exciting. I was just like, oh, God.
What's Kendall's assistant, the rabbit assistant, getting paid? Probably
she
good money,
making
right?
Bank. Yeah, she makes as much as Greg. Greg had an all-time episode. Sometimes I feel like Greg is like only there to be funny, and it's like trying too hard. But I feel like this was very good funny, Greg.
Yeah,
the scene with him and Logan was so
he's so out of his element.
Oh my god!
And then later with Tom when he wanted to wrestle.
And just the like intensity with like the surety of ordering a rum and coke at like 9:30 in the morning. That was really like bold. And then also like Logan screaming to his assistant, like, get Greg a can of Coca-Cola. It was just like, I have never, Coca-Cola sort of like leapt out of the screen and punched me in the face. It was the whole thing felt that intense.
Wow, that was so good. So good. Highly recommend it. Jake and I were kind of probably the earliest watchers of it, so I feel like kind of responsible for its success, its growth.
And
a lot of the
watching
themes.
At the end of season one.
Yeah.
I watched it in real time at the premiere of episode one, season one.
Wow.
I had a sixth sense about this show, and I...
You did. You were
also,
right.
Also, you know, I am... I've seen Kieran Culkin was one of the playground dads, like with my kid. He's you know, the brilliant Roman on that show.
Whoa.
And all I can say Whoa. About him being a playground dad is that he's quite delightful.
That's
man.
Awesome.
No shit.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, I wish I could say something gossipy. Yeah. Great, but I cannot.
I know.
No. He just has
he seems Kieran's, awesome.
He has like
great.
A wonderful.
Yeah,
he
Kieran.
Has a lovely wife.
Sorry, do you
and
know
a child.
Jake? Do you know him? You keep
I've
saying
met
their
Kieran.
First names.
Yeah, no, I haven't met Kieran, but I'm saying he's great. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just want to make sure that we go through the list of celebrities that I've met in this podcast. Mm. So, like, we've crossed off two already. So, if we could just keep going,
that's
that'd be
really
great.
Cool. Plus, yeah. Plus, he said I was on the show too. So,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Kind of
yes,
counts
yes.
as well, celebrity wise. I mean.
Wasn't it over Zoom?
Anyway, this is If I Were You, an advice podcast. After all. These are people not unlike Kendall in really sticky situations, high stakes yeah. at that, high stakes for them at least. And we do our best to advise them out of them. Nagin, we need a fake name because this is a 25-year-old gal from Boston and we don't want to out her with her true identity.
Yeah. Oh, Tilda Middington.
That's really good. Tilda Middington
yeah.
is a 25-year-old gal from Boston who has three roommates. Okay, we're talking about right. that. Three roommates, all 25 to 26. And one of the roommates and I recently got into a disagreement about breakfast smoothies.
Mm.
That's right. I have to wake up at 6 a.m. for work and casually mention to her how I really wanted a smoothie for breakfast one morning, but couldn't use the other roommate's bedroom because it's off, or I couldn't make it because one of our roommate's bedroom is off the kitchen and I didn't want to wake her up. My roommate scoffed and said, the kitchen is a community space and I'd have every right to make a smoothie in the morning without our third roommate getting mad because that's, quote, part of living with roommates. I disagreed and view it as part of living with roommates is not being able to make a smoothie in the morning. For context, our third roommate works until 11 p.m. and usually isn't home until after midnight, so she wakes up much later than 6. Am I right for thinking it's common sense to not wake up other people in the apartment? Or is she right in thinking that living with roommates means you get to have occasionally woken up earlier than you want? Thank you. Love, Tilda. Ooh, that hashtag roommate life. When was the last time you lived with 2 to 3 roommates, Nagin? Did you ever live with 2 to 3
So
roommates?
I've never lived alone. I lived with roommates until...
You would love it. You would love it.
I loved having roommates and I then met, you know, my now husband and we moved in and then... So I've literally never lived alone.
Interesting.
Yeah, I enjoy living with, you know, and I enjoyed like roommate life. I thought it was fun. And I think there's like two things going on with roommate life. One is you have to be conscious of people and the like noise and all of that stuff. So I think it's really thoughtful that roommate, it didn't make a smoothie because it was too early in the morning. I think that's very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Though also from the point of view of the roommate who is sleeping in the adjacent room,
yeah,
I think you also have to be cool with sometimes your roommates are going to make noise at 6 o'clock in the morning and you kind of have to be cool with it. So both things are true. Like be thoughtful when you can, but also be cool about stuff that's annoying when you can. And then you become a successful roommate as I was for many years. I'm anointing myself a successful roommate. You'd have to ask my roommates if that's true. But
best
you know,
roommate ever.
I was really just the most wonderful roommate.
Are you like very like, let's keep everything organized, let's have a cleaning calendar, that kind of roommate? Or are you like, let's just do whatever we want and we'll figure it out, sort of carefree style?
I mean, I was just like, let's all be reasonable. Like, you know, like let's just keep the kitchen and living room like pretty decent looking and let's just
That only
be
works
reasonable.
When everybody is reasonable though. I guess you had reasonable roommates.
I did. I think you have to that the selection process I feel like is also a big deal, you
it's
know
important.
Because that you sense that you're the one time I misfired on the selection. I had this Canadian roommate who,
oh my god,
first of all, red flag.
Disgusting.
Numero uno,
literally a red flag.
And
that's the kind of stuff I
Maple
bring to fake
red
the press,
flag.
Actually. Yeah.
That's really good.
Jake would never think of that because he's like, he's not sorry, I'm talking about you like you're not here, but yeah, you're not smart in like that or any way. Like
no, you're interrupting.
When I said, story. Do you get what that
in
means,
a pun,
though?
In a pun way. No, to, please.
Like, this, to insult.
Literally a red flag. Like, Jake, Nikki, try not to, like, explain it to him. Like, do you get what that means?
Does
I'm serious.
Did you,
like,
did you
explain
get it,
it,
Jake?
Do you get it? Because I know Nikki got it.
Being asked. Yeah, yes, of course I get it.
Okay.
Of course, I said it was good. I said it was good. Actually, and that actually did. Immediately went to your head. And then you made Nikki stop telling her story.
Because, yeah.
Use this it, one nice moment to try to.
It takes to one level of intellect to get that me. Joke, and like to make it is just like off the charts, awesome. I don't know if it was Nagin or me that made it.
It was a quick joke, but the amount of attention you're giving it,
right?
Is actually,
it sort of undermines how funny
lowering.
It was in the moment.
Totally. Yeah.
I do want to point out should, the, yeah. that you can reuse that joke in the future if someone said the same thing but was talking about Japan.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So then you can go ahead
China.
And yeah, China. There you go. Yeah. There's this joke. Just I'm saying, keep it in your pocket because it will come up again for you.
Denmark is another one, Jake. I don't know if you know, but there's this country.
I mean, the U.S. We have red on our flag. Canada is red and white, so it's not like.
I mean, I think that we're talking
Jake.
About
no,
dominant
you
colors.
Say it about
you really can't. You really.
You
cannot.
Really cannot. You really cannot. It's
that's absurd. Actually, okay. I'm embarrassed.
That's fine. I'll cut that. Actually, I'll leave it in. I will leave it in because people need to hear that.
The joke wasn't that good. It wasn't that good.
Actually, let me raise a white flag and surrender, a.k.a. the flag of, I don't know, fucking
Iceland,
Kuwait or some shit. I really don't know flags that well. Now, like, you have me backpedaling on my own smart joke.
He's you so, were presented. Like, you were like bad. You were like listing countries that have red flags, and now suddenly you don't know flags that well.
I yeah, only I'm blanking. Pulling up the frickin' wiki page for it, and I can't really find one. That's mostly white, unfortunately. Okay,
you've derailed the show.
Yeah, Canadian roommate.
This is a pivot that this podcast is now about flags, and I've been waiting for you guys to make this announcement.
Thank you.
So she's a Canadian, and
yes.
she was a dancer, you know, moving to the big city to follow her dreams of dancing, and she was just like weirdly into violent dudes, like not anyone that was like just like she'd be like, yeah, I met this guy Robert, we're dating now, and he owns a gun, you know, like she would always come home with stories that I was like, that's uncomfortable, you know what I mean, and like. I was out with this guy, Steve, and this other guy said something about how my dress looked nice, and Steve punched that guy in the face. It was awesome.
Whoa.
And I was like, hell you yeah. are very into the violence of these gentlemen.
She sounds like an American to me in disguise.
I mean, right? And I was, she once then brought home a dude and his gun. Like, they both came home and I was like, listen, I didn't know that I had to clarify this would be a gun-free apartment.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to make sure. That. Yeah, I assumed it, and that was my bad, right? And
yeah.
So then,
yeah, that's a baseline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No you bands. Have to say that, kind of put it out there on the post.
So would you be the kind of roommate that did the smoothie at 6 a.m., or would you be the kind of roommate that didn't get offended when other people made a smoothie, or how would you react to Smoothie Gate?
I'm first of all not that bothered by noises like that, so I think I would be unbothered. I think I would maybe occasionally make the smoothie, and then occasionally not. So I wouldn't make it something that they had to dread that was going to happen every morning, but yeah. They would have to live in fear of days that it might happen.
Yeah. Smoothies are so loud, especially in an empty, like, quiet house. Like, we really should have been, we should have silent blenders by now, I would think.
Oh, yeah, we have silent toilet flushes.
You can get one of those, like, Starbucks things where they, you know, they have, like, a big plastic cover that goes over the blender.
Yeah, a blender silencer of sorts.
Yeah.
But I really want the smoothie maker, the blender itself,
things.
To be quiet.
Well, so, all right, wait, so here's my, I think Nagin's right. Both things are correct here. You're right that it's your job not to like wake up your roommates, but two, I don't think that making a smoothie is that disruptive. Like it's only
a couple,
it's less than a minute.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
It's not like you're going to wake up and start like gaming or listening to music or whatever. I think like sustained noise is disrespectful, but if you wake up and need to make yourself breakfast? Like, what, are you not going to grind coffee beans?
Where does it stop, people? I can't fry an egg either.
But also,
sizzling of a bacon is also too loud. Enough is enough.
During the pandemic, when Jill was on like work Zooms in the kitchen and I wanted to make a smoothie for lunch, I would just take the blender into the bathroom. I took it out on the porch one time. You know, that's portable. You can plug that in anywhere there's an outlet. You can make a smoothie in your room. You put everything you need to in the
under
blender
a pillow.
And walk away.
Jake, this is a really excellent point. Like, let's break free of the hegemony of the kitchen, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Break free.
I like that. I like that. That's thinking outside the box. That's like a real roommate solution, which is short for solution.
So make the smoothie, but potentially bring it into your room. I mean, or you can almost like coarsely chop this stuff yourself. Like, if you want to be really quiet, you can hand smooth it.
Also, another solution is if you've ever lived with voiceover artists, they buy those like foam booths, you know, they can
soundproof.
Do their soundproof voiceover.
So or a you podcaster.
Can take or a podcaster. I mean, although I think we're a little more, you know, fuck you to like sound, you know, all the sound impurities.
Yeah, we don't have to be as pure as a VO artist.
Yeah,
course.
I'm not doing, you know, a Frito-Lay voiceover commercial at this setup.
I would love to. Don't get me wrong. And if anybody's listening, I want to get into that world because I do think I have a pretty interesting voice with regards to branded content and making
Fritos
deals.
I only mentioned Fritos because I have done a Frito-Lay's voiceover.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, a couple Holy years shit. Ago, I was the voice of several potato chip flavors.
Did you meet the Pringles guy?
Don't talk to me about that fucking guy.
Wow.
Did you date Captain Crunch?
We don't do snack crossover like that. We don't.
That's
We keep it. We keep it within, you know,
it's
the genre.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of gross. It's like it's like kissing your cousin or something. It's just not right.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Let's take a break. Come back and answer some more questions on the other side of these messages.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness.
It's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's
that's
a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more
fitness
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back. Hey, Nagin, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little bit of fire. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Disgusting. Foul.
Dude.
Unnecessary. And uncouth.
Yeah.
But do you have any unsolicited advice?
I have three unsolicited advices. If one of them you feel like is just like garbage and not very good, then I could do the next one.
We'll gong it, sort of lightning round style.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. So my first one is that I think that I have a 2.5-year-old, and I'm around a lot of parents who do not let their kids watch TV like at all.
And no screens.
No screens. I sort of view TV differently from cell phones. Like, putting on a cartoon, I find, is like, I was essentially raised by a television. I watched TV all the time as a child. Wow. And then there were two parents involved as well, but mostly television. And I sort of have been just ashamed that I actually do let my kid watch some TV. And I kind of keep it quiet. But I also just realized recently that she knows, like, basically the whole alphabet and all of her shapes and all this and all that. I mean, she's in school as well, too. But honestly, she's only started school in September. She's known a lot of this stuff, I think, from educational TV. So my big piece of advice for all the people who are like, no screens, I think you should just let your kids watch some TV.
That's good. I like that. I think we went too far because, I mean, I'm also like down for the general idea of not watching TV. But then when I have to like babysit a 4-year-old for like an hour and a half, and the only thing that gets them to stop being crazy is a screen, I understand the inclination to just say, fuck it. Here's Sesame Street. This is much better than me doing another puzzle with you. Enough is enough.
And like, I was watching Frozen with like some of Jill's cousins, and it's awesome. You know, like I could fuck around with watching TV. That seems, as long as like I like it too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and I'm like, I don't like Daniel Tiger like as a form of entertainment. Like, I'd rather watch Succession, but like Daniel Tiger literally talks about going to the potty, which we're like in a big poop in the potty phase right now, and
that's where you have to do it.
He's truly, I mean, I've been trying to like really tell her that. Daniel Tiger's been telling her that too. And it's like to get, you know, and she'll literally be like, you know, poop in the potty like Daniel Tiger. But also she speaks three languages, and it's a great way of like keeping up three languages is like just TV. Wow. So if you have like bilingual kids or trilingual kids or whatever, I also highly recommend it because it makes other languages sound just more fun to them.
That's cool.
Damn.
I always find it fascinating that like if I had a child and I moved to like Denmark, that kid would be Danish. Like the country's strength would override me. He would know Danish more than English. And I would be like the weird person in his life that speaks English and barely understands Danish. Like, just by merely moving to this country, he will become a Danish man.
A Dane. Yeah.
It seems like he would stay what I am, an American, but that's not how it works.
No. Oh, he would be ashamed of you.
Yes, I would be an embarrassing, an American man, all because I moved to fucking Denmark for him.
He'd have no respect for you in the end.
Yes, whether I moved to Denmark or not.
And then he would probably like divorce you as a father. And then
your
relationship would crumble entirely.
Basically, when you have a child.
He would be emancipated for sure.
When you have a child, you can choose its nationality. I can move anywhere in the world and that child will be that thing. What power?
Of a country? I mean, yeah, that's all. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. That was a good one.
You're just one loser that stubs your toe all the time.
That was a joke. I stubbed it twice. Second time it barely hurt.
On the same object. On the same object.
Yeah, it was a goof. It was funny. Okay, what's Unsolicited 2?
Okay, Unsolicited 2.
Watch More TV is a good one. Okay. What else we got?
It's a, specifically, kids should watch more TV. Yep. Just to be
whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm sure a child at heart.
We got the right takeaway. The other one is I have like been on a big supplements bandwagon of like,
ooh,
take all these supplements and like to like feel better and be energized and like never age and all that stuff. And then recently I just stopped taking all the supplements. And
that was fine.
And it was fine. And so maybe, so it's possible that one of my pieces of unsolicited advice is like, you know, just stop taking supplements and see what happens. Because I think, are you guys on a supplements bandwagon? I feel like everyone I know is on a supplements bandwagon right now.
No, I don't take any supplements. I over the summer I was using creatine to go to the gym.
Oh, okay.
Was sick.
Were you mass gains?
Yeah.
Were you ripped? Were you jacked?
I put some bulk on. It really, and it gave you more, it gives you more energy to work out. It felt good.
Did it stay after you stopped taking it?
Yeah, it did.
Wow.
So you just have to take it and then it just continue. I thought the whole fear is that you have to keep taking it, otherwise it goes away.
Yeah, I think you kind of do. You like cycle on, 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not that hard. It's easy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Have you been doing the multiple cycles?
Yeah, I was just on my third cycle. Just wow. Finished one.
All right, there you have it. So yeah, supplement.
Supplement.
Well, Nagin's is to not
just
supplement.
Just stop, so. Don't supplement.
Yeah.
Like if you're stressed out.
Unless it's creatine.
It's hard to say what's useful and what's not.
If you're stressed out that you have to remember to take supplements every day and you think these supplements are like making a big difference and you're like, oh, my supplements, I forgot my supplements. I got to try, you know, I was like in that space. Yeah. My piece of advice is just stop all of it.
What about vitamins? Are vitamins supplements?
Yeah. 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 Let's
so you're telling me I shouldn't
them.
Be taking vitamin D, the most important one?
Well, I guess Dr. Joe Rogan has also talked a lot about vitamin D being the most important.
Yeah, now no, I don't know what to believe.
But my actual doctor has also sung the benefits of vitamin D. So I'm going to go ahead and say, as your personal podcast
out.
Doctor,
yes.
You can carve that one out and keep it going. Okay.
My doctor told me that vitamin D didn't matter.
Interesting.
My doctor was like, everyone has low vitamin D because no one goes outside anymore.
Right.
It's kind of fine.
But then shouldn't you then take it as a supplement? Take it as a vitamin?
But also go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did instead.
Yeah.
Spend more time
outside. Right. My brother, who is a doctor, has said that he thinks, that we all suffer from vitamin D deficiency and that Americans have gone overboard with like not being in the sun. Like they should just be in the sun a little bit.
Mm, but then it's not good for your skin.
I mean, right. Yeah, in small doses is just fine. It's like fine.
That's good.
Yeah.
Then what about the whole putting your genitalia in the sun? Have you heard about that little phenomenon? You're supposed
what?
To put your
what?
Ass. Yeah,
what?
Point your ass to the sun for maximum vitamin D exposure.
Are you serious?
I find it immature. I find it unnecessary. And to do that
it
in public.
It enters through the anus and it enters through the scrotum and labia. Wait,
yeah,
I just
vitamin
want to make
D.
Sure. This is a joke,
through
right?
Your ass. No, I think that's true. Vitamin D absorption.
I did not realize there was more absorption through the acellular absorption.
Perennium sunning. In a mere 30 seconds of sunlight on your butthole, you'll receive whatever extra vitamin D than you would otherwise.
Drink it up.
Oh my
that's
God.
Insane. That's insane.
Yeah, I guess because there's lots of grooves and wrinkles and it's an area that doesn't get sun ever.
Ever.
You can actually...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say it doesn't ring true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it seems like a good funnel for the sun.
Yes, a sun funnel. You can butt chug vitamin D from the fucking Apollo. How cool
you also
is that?
Butt chug Sunny D.
Okay. Let's hear the third one. I mean, so far, I feel like you're 2 for 2. Watch fucking TV and get rid of your vitamins.
Okay,
what else
yeah.
do you got? Fries are good for you.
This is I feel like writers are terrible. Okay, and then my last one is so I was just being interviewed by production for this like show that we're doing, and they were trying to figure out some stuff from my background, and they were asking me like if I have any weird habits or like any weird stories from my life or whatever, and I felt inadequate. Like I have, like I've led an uninteresting life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then after I got off the phone, I was like, no, I've totally led an interesting life. Like, and I started remembering a couple things and I wrote them down. And then I was like, oh, I, from now on, I should sit down and write every interesting thing that's ever happened to me.
That's
and
<cool.
laughs> from now on, whenever something interesting happens, I should write it down because I don't want to seem like I've led an uninteresting life.
Okay, now I understand what kind of roommate you are. You've said more than enough. Write down the interesting things that happened to you so that you remember them and feel like you've led a more interesting life.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's nice.
No, I like mean, it. Because also, like, you know, you forget these little things and there's, you know, and your brain gets so overloaded with inputs from just life being like an annoying drag and like taking the kids to school and all that junk, you know, that you forget that, like, you know, one time you were, you know, you were butt chugging the sun one time on the Inca Trail on your way to Chile. You know what I mean? You forget stuff like that. And so you want to like just notate those things so that you could look back. It's, I mean, essentially I'm talking about journaling, I suppose, but it's more specific than journaling. It's like specifically remember, you know, making sure that you remember to celebrate your interestingness.
Yeah, some conversation came up at a party about a couple like writing down a list of like everybody they've, you know, either slept with or kissed or whatever. And it's like just coming up like, oh, wow, I forgot about that one random night, like creates funny stories that your other doesn't necessarily know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm a stand-up comic, and I see comedians, you know, are using stuff from their lives, and then they'll say something about a memory, and I'll remember that I have a, you know, I have some memory in the genre of teenagehood or whatever it is, and you know, and it's all like about just being able to pull something from your own life. And it's crazy how little. It's in your active memory. Your own life is not in your active memory. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, your child is 2.5. Like, even in 5 more years, like, they'll be almost 8. And, like, how many memories do you have before the age of 8? Like, this seems like such a huge part of your life as an adult is raising this child from 0 to 8. And, like, they will remember 4 things from that entire era.
And my parents did such a terrible job of remembering anything of my childhood. I've asked them so many questions. When did I learn how to read? Like, what was school like? Did I go to, you know, 3K and 4K? Like, they don't remember none of it. And so part of it is I feel terrible. Like, I don't want my kid to grow up and have all these questions about her childhood and then me also not have any knowledge of her childhood.
Yeah. So, I mean, iPhones help. Like, oh, where were you on that day? Oh, let me look at the phones and videos now that I can have this record in the cloud of what happened.
Your True. Parents never had like a baby book? My parents had baby books for all of us.
Ugh, my parents, like
I can go through my baby book and I see little photos and like and read stories about me and my first words and stuff.
Yeah,
but immigrants like, don't do baby books.
I see.
That's so, just Amir, a rule.
Your parents are immigrants as well. They didn't. There's no Amir Blumenfeld baby book.
There's old photo albums. I don't know if there's a dedicated one to just me.
Oh yeah, no. Baby book is different. It's like a diary for the baby.
Baby needs a book, and when adult Jake gets sad, he likes to see the baby book because he's a baby sometimes. That's funny. That's really funny. That's rich. That's really something else. What's the earliest video of you? Like, right now, there's videos of babies instantly, high-def, cinema mode, amazing, high-quality videos of babies. But, like, the first video of me is what? As a 5-year-old on a VHS tape that may be lost forever?
Oh, it's so depressing. I don't even know. Because my parents were not at all about documenting any part of my childhood. So I feel like the first video of me was me in middle school because I begged my parents to get a video camera. So that I can make little videos. So I think that's the
digital?
First video of me. Yeah.
Was
or,
it?
No, you know what? I think it had not a VHS. It had like a little baby tape.
Yeah, mini DV.
I don't know what those were.
That's what it was.
Mini DVs, yeah.
Classic. Okay, so just to recap, kids should watch TV,
stop taking your vitamins, and write down interesting shit, or you'll forget it and be sad today.
Perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thus, I mean, 3 for 3 as far as I'm concerned. I feel like you knocked all three out of the park. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the retelling, I feel slightly ridiculous. Although, but when I was thinking of them, I felt like they sounded so great.
Yes, no, that's correct. Yeah, when you say them all back to back, like when I dispense all my wisdom in a list, it's not going to sound very good.
Right,
but I'm sure
right.
when I come up with it, I'm going to feel like a gosh darn genius about it. okay, let's take one more break, and then we'll answer more questions. I promise. I promise.
Yeah.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
Bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark
yeah,
Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back. One last question from a 23-year-old PhD school student at West Virginia University.
Okay.
So, Nagin, do you have a fake name to refer to this man as?
A PhD student at West Virginia University?
That's right.
Oh, right. Kylie Minerhouse.
Very good.
Kylie Minerhouse. Yeah. Right.
From a minor house.
I'm a 23-year-old guy attending a PhD school at West Virginia, and I adopted a cat about a week ago. She had a seizure the first day I adopted her, and she needs medication every 12 hours for 4 weeks. And that's not even the sad part. My girlfriend's uncle has stage 4 bone and brain cancer, and she's going to visit him next week. She wants me to go to Northern Michigan with her and her mom for 9 days because she doesn't want to be alone. Frankly, I can't miss a week of school and research when my boss has already voiced concern about me being out too much to visit my girlfriend because she was gone for a week for her birthday in October already. And on top of that, I'm new here and I don't know anyone who can cat sit, which now entails a medicine and a constant check-in to make sure she isn't having a seizure. By the way, I can't bring the cat because her mom is allergic as fuck. So am I a bad person for wanting to stay and take care of my cat? Should I be more considerate and do anything possible for her? She's said to me, if your family member was dying, I'd drop anything and be there for you. But it's not quite that simple. Your wisdom would be greatly appreciated. And I promise to do a follow-up pup. Thank you, Kylie.
Wait.
Kylie Minerhouse.
By the way, I believe that Kylie is a gender neutral name, but I also didn't know this was a man.
Yeah, it's a man now.
But what year, you said what year they were in the PhD program?
He's a 23-year-old.
In a PhD program.
That's right. So pretty early on into the PhD program.
Pretty early in the PhD, unless they're like a Doogie Howser type, in which case they're really well into it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's 10 years
into it.
Yeah. So this is a tough one because I see how logistically difficult it is.
Yeah. Significant other funeral is always a very difficult situation because it's like, do you go? And then it's like, if the significant other is going, then it's like, does it extend out to here? Like, how close were they? How obligated are you close to them? There's lots of like variables to determine whether you should be attending that significant other's family's funeral.
There's not.
Yeah, there is.
No, like, there's not.
If it's a distant cousin, like in Israel, I might not even go. And if I go, do I expect my girlfriend to go? There's a travel logistics of it involved.
I think that...
And this person's not even dead. It's not even a funeral. He's sick.
This is fucked.
Wait, what's your position, Jake? I'm confused.
I think you have to go. This is a uncle. Uncle has... Uncle.
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 That's
uncle.
The other thing.
That's...
Uncle.
Uncle.
I think if the person you love says, I need you to come because I would be there for you if someone was dying, that's all you need to hear. It's not about the uncle's self. It's about your relationship to your girlfriend now. You don't come back from this. You don't, if you stay to care for your cat while your girlfriend goes to watch her uncle die, I think it's over.
Now, hold on. Also, is it a funeral or it's an extended period of time that is unclear? Where
I think it's like he's on death's door and they're going to be with him for 9 days.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the uncle's sister, this girlfriend's mom, is going. And then the girlfriend's mom wants the girlfriend to come. And then the girlfriend wants the boyfriend to come. I think it's enough degrees away removed that he doesn't need to go.
I kind of agree with you. I also
is that
think
random?
When you're in, when you
is
when
that
you're
freaking in, weird?
Are we heartless people? Because I think also when you're in that situation, you don't want a rando in the mix, and the boyfriend is a rando essentially. You know what I mean?
He can do 2 days. He can do a weekend. He doesn't need to be there for all 9.
He can do 2 days.
Give her 2. It's 2 days. That means you were there. You did the hard part. You traveled with her. You're leaving a little early.
Also, I don't know. I mean, look, people have died in my, and not to be like shaming her for whatever her emotional needs are, but like, people have died in my life and I have not needed that much from my boyfriend at the time. You know what I mean? Like I haven't.
Come with
also,
me
I haven't guilted.
Half,
yeah. I haven't guilted him by saying like, if it was your family, I would be. Then I feel like maybe you guys aren't even on the same page about how your emotional needs play out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it comes down to doing what the person you love needs. So whether or not you need to be there for the uncle or the uncle wants you there, if the girlfriend says, I want you to come, I think you have to go because it's life and death.
3 days. Then I really have to stop negotiating here.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you have
yeah,
me bent
yeah.
over a barrel, all right?
And,
I'm giving
and,
you
and 3 days is very generous. I feel like
that's
at this point, it's a take
plus
it or leave
day.
It offer, Jake.
No, I mean, I'm...
Yes, and that's really best and final.
I'm not negotiating any time, but you have to go. You do have to go. And I think you kind of have to cede the opinions to the people that are suffering the most. Because you just have a cat and everybody else is like, you know, dying.
Not everybody, just the uncle. Let's not spread this illness. Actually, it's a very sweet little kitty that has seizures. So you want to make sure that...
Yeah. I care about the cat too, but I think you could find somebody. There's enough people in the world that care about the cat that you could figure something out.
The subject line is, am I in cat-siderate? Does that change your opinion, Jake?
I think if anything, the girlfriend is in cat sitterate.
Thank you.
Because this guy is probably
he just really wanted to use the pun.
Yes, it's not really a cat.
Yeah, well, he's too cat sitterate. He's thinking mostly about the cat.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my final best and final 3 days. With you, but then I really got to get back.
Was there a time specified?
It's
was
9 days. 9 days. She's lot. Going. It's 2 weekends. And then
you're in a
Friday
PhD program. Mm. There's all these like demands on your time. You've got this sick cat. 9 days is a lot.
Yes.
Mm. I for would. Every life if, this I cat would sort has. Of be like, I would love it if you could come. For a little, like if I was the girlfriend, I would have been like, oh, I would love it if you can make it for some amount of time, you know, yeah, like I understand 9 days is a lot, whatever.
I'm not going for a full Hanukkah. I mean, it's northern Michigan we're talking about here. You have to be with your mom. What, am I just going to be twiddling my thumbs in the fucking hospital waiting room? So Jesus, should we like postmate something or
honestly think families don't love having a person there that nobody knows because they want to say a bunch of like personal intimate things in these final days and like having that extra person that they don't know, even though it's great for the girlfriend to have someone that she can cry on their shoulder, I think it's not great for the overall family setup.
Yeah, no, this you're on support duty. You're like, hug the girlfriend when she comes back from the hospital. You're drop off coffee in the morning. You are like the person that
right.
is
you're,
allowed to miss
sure.
some of like those. Yeah,
you're so a gopher. You're just, yeah.
Yes, you're a gopher, which I understand is, you know, 9 days of being a gopher is a lot. So you say, I'm going to come, you know, on the weekends, both yeah. weekends, maybe.
And it also depends on how close you two are. Like, there's a different level of girlfriends. Like,
they've been dating for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost the amount of time he's had the cat.
Wait, did he specify how Thrinder. Long they've been together?
No, they did not.
No. That
close
makes
enough
a huge
for
difference.
This to be an issue.
Yeah. That makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know. I'm on the edge of my seat. Let us know how she handles the whole 3 day thing. I have a feeling she won't be as lenient as me, a third party who's just telling you what to do. But we look forward to hearing what's up. And Nagin, we'll keep you posted as well.
Please keep me posted because I'm also a tiny bit worried that I'm a heartless monster. It's possible that I'm a heartless monster.
You would take Jake's side, and I would be alone, one against two. It's cool that it went that way. I appreciate that.
Yeah, listeners, let me know if I'm a heartless monster. I will amend my ways. I really can't tell now.
Tweet at Nagin, hashtag heartless monster. Okay, Nagin, one last time. Your podcast, how could people listen to it? And
oh my gosh,
deal?
You can subscribe to Fake the Nation wherever you find your podcast. It's such a fun time. We've had such a wonderful run at HeadGum, and the hits keep on coming every week with a new episode on Thursdays.
Hell yes. Fake the Nation. Check it out. I'm on an episode. That's how fucking good it is. Can you imagine me on a podcast?
Good. It's that good.
But you should listen to the newer episodes.
You know, but we have one of my upcoming guests that I think is so exciting is Bob the Drag Queen. So definitely listen so you can see, hear that episode.
Oh, all right. Check that one out for sure. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. This was fun. And I really hope that that I've like somehow retained my humanity, although I'm not sure if I have.
You did great. Don't let us drag you to hell.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have any your own questions or theme song submissions, the email address for all of that is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was that Phoebe Bridgers parody. I don't know if I said this, but that guy has a new song, Dopamine, which can be found under the name Fully Involved on all streaming places. Or you can follow on Instagram or TikTok at Fully Involved Mark to see that aforementioned Phoebe costume. Oh, he dressed up as Phoebe Bridgers for Halloween.
That's cool.
Wow.
Very cool.
Okay. I didn't read any of that stuff. So let's play the song again because I messed up at the top. Let's give one last shout out to Mark Berman, who dressed up as Phoebe Bridgers and has a new song, Dopamine, which can be found under that name, Fully Involved, on all streaming places. All right, let's play that one more time. The If I Were You Kyoto Phoebe Bridgers parody. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
day off over at HeadGum's. Hip Mom gonna come over and listen to this podcast. It's called If I Were You. These Jews, they will give you some solutions that will last. Jake gets the golden. It's a foregone conclusion. Born for it 500 times. The chipmunky will complain that I wrote this in the theme song. And for that, the turdy is his to own. 'Cause it broke up the flow of the podcast show.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.